howdy, y'all.
All that flannel's making me feel comfortable in the South. Feel like I need to bust out my Southern twang. It's great to be together and looking forward to being able to dig in the Bible. Amen? Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll watch an amazingly well-done and thoughtful and thorough produced, written, scripted little short video. God, thank you so much for today, and grateful that it is Sunday, and we have an opportunity designated aside with the freedoms that the country we live in afford us to be able to practice our faith openly without fear of persecution. God, that we have a place that we can meet in today and to be able to have fellowship, to see one another, to be able to greet each other with love and hugs and embracing each other, that we get to sing songs and we get to worship you. And that's really what this is all about. The reason why we're here is to worship you, God. Jesus, to be able to remember you. And we're going to do that in really everything we do. There is a thread and a strand woven in and out of Jesus, what you've done for us. And we take time and we designate time each week now to be able to remember you and the cross and the sacrifice that you made for us and all that comes, all that we have, all that we enjoy as a result of that. And I pray as we dig into the Word of God, we will dig in hard and in the Scriptures, into our hearts, that we'll dig into our hearts, that we will open them wide, that we will allow that seed to penetrate so that it can bear not a little, but a lot of fruit, God, that is pleasing to you. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. There he is. Look at that guy.
Good morning, y'all. It is November 1st, which means we have finally entered the holiday season. Specifically, in November, we celebrate Thanksgiving, which is why I want to invite each and every one of you to join with me in the No Complain November Challenge. I get it. The holidays can be crazy and chaotic when you're shopping and you've got family and friends and you're hosting and entertaining, and the list goes on and on. And it can be easy to grumble. It can be easy to complain, to get negative or critical, which is why I want us to all partner together in the No Complain November Challenge. It'll be tempting, but when you're tempted to grumble or complain or to be negative or critical, I want to encourage you to take that thought captive, to make it obedient to Christ, and to choose instead to be thankful, to be grateful, because in spite of the chaos, in spite of all the craziness that goes on, there's always plenty to be thankful about. So join with me this month of November, the No Complain November Challenge.
Amen. Yeah, give it up, right? It's from that video that Dr. Jerry was inspired, that we all dress in our flannels for those who have them, and so amen. You know, I mentioned last week as we ended one series that we were going to begin a new one as we've entered November and we have entered the month of Thanksgiving, that we were going to be starting a series on just that. And the series that we're going to go through is entitled Radical Gratitude, okay? I'll be turning over to Colossians chapter 2, Radical Gratitude. You know, Thanksgiving is what it is not, is it is not a day to be celebrated once a year, right? And Thanksgiving, it's not even a seasonal holiday to be celebrated for an entire month. It's supposed to be a spiritual habit. Gratitude, thanksgiving, a discipline that defines our lives and defines our lifestyle for everyone. but especially for us as disciples. You know, the Bible was written not just singling any one or group of people out. It was written for mankind, but especially for us as disciples, right? It should be our lifestyle, one of gratitude and thanksgiving. And so that's why we came up with this idea that we're going to together, though it is for a month, right? The No Complain November, the challenge, that it won't be just something that ends, right, in a month, but that it will be something that really characterizes our lifestyle. The more deeply you understand God's love for you, personally, not for the world, because we, you know, John 3:16 is very true that God so loved the world. But when you really, really be able, when you're able to begin to really dig into the depths and understand God's love for you, that yes, God so loved the world, but that you're a part of that God so loved you, the more grateful you become. When you the more you understand His love for you, the more you understand His sacrifice and what He has done, and how all that has been done, all that we see, all that we get to have and experience, the amazing world that we live in and the creation that exists before us, that it has been done and given and to us and for us to be able to stand in awe of Him, to be drawn into Him, to see how awesome and powerful that love is for us, the more grateful we will become.
What do you say to people who would say, and there will be people that will say, I don't believe it. I don't believe the reawakening of that Kanye is saying he's having. I don't believe if I look at the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of his life, I don't believe that this can be as night and day as it is. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
that you would be one day living your life in one way and now saying everything is for this. I'm not sure I believe it. What would you say to those people?
Well, I'd say when you go to sleep, would you agree that you are asleep when you are asleep? And when you wake up, would you agree that you are awake when you are awake?
Yeah.
Would you agree that those are two different states? People who don't believe are walking dead. They are asleep. And this is the awakening.
It got cut off, but what he says, and this is the awakening. Yeah. Right, he's talking about, now, if you know anything about Kanye West, he's an incredible artist, musically talented, gifted, but would not necessarily, prior to recently, characterize his life as a godly life, for sure, if you would listen to the lyrics and you would see kind of the fruit and the produce of his life. And I don't know all the backstory. I don't know when and where and how it all happened, but there's been a radical transformation in Kanye West's life. Right. Now, I'm not here to judge. I don't know his doctrine. I don't know what he believes his theology is and all of that stuff. And that's not the point, though. What's clear is that there has been a radical transformation. And that's what that's what this guy is asking. He's saying, you understand that because of who you used to be, that there's going to be doubters. There's going to be people that don't really believe that you could go from who you were and the lifestyle that you used to live, and all of a sudden now there's this new guy, right? And in his response, Kanye's response is, you understand that. You know, there's a difference between those. When you're awake, you realize you're awake, and when you're asleep, right? You realize you go to sleep and you're asleep. He said the difference, you know, being is that those who are non-believers that don't believe, those are the walking dead, right? And I was totally impacted. Kristen showed me this video just last night, and I had to, Lord, I'm glad I got done with my prep early, because I spent way too long trying to figure out how to embed a video into a keynote. I am not tech savvy, and it was, and so I was digging out archives of emails that Chris Knox sent me, and that website didn't exist, and so I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm glad I got it in, because it's a small example. You know, the show The Walking Dead, right? Some of y'all have seen it. I kind of I enjoy it, and you got these ideas of these zombies that are walking around, and most of the time they're just walking aimlessly, right? There isn't until something attracts them, draws their attention, they hear noise or whatever, and they're dead, they're living dead, they're dead alive, they're just walking aimlessly, and we can, like that, be spiritual zombies sometimes, or we're just kind of walking aimlessly around, that we're dead men and dead women walking. And sometimes we think that that just a little tweak here or there will snap us out of the rut that we're in. You know, or like going to the doctor and asking for a Band-Aid to put on a broken bone, right? It doesn't get the job done. A little tweaking, right? Just a little tweaking in Kanye's life and there would be no noticeable difference, right? It was him radically changing his life where the notice has been so stark and so different. You know, we think that we can slap a hashtag moment, you know, on something and it can course correct our life and our lifestyle, right? That we, hey, no complain November, let's do that. And all of a sudden that we're just going to be happy, grateful, thankful people all the time, right? But again, it's a lifestyle. We're not just talking about something that's seasonal or for a moment. You do realize that in less than 2 months, we're going to end this year. But think about this. Do you realize in less than 2 months, we're also going to end this decade? Do you remember where you were in 2009? 10 years ago, Andrew wasn't even born. That's crazy. Ella was barely a year and a half. Some of y'all weren't married. A lot of kids that are in the church now weren't even a thought either, right? Thinking about that. You know, looking back over this last decade, would you change anything? If you think back about your life this last year, is there anything that you would change about your life, about your character, anything like that? I know I would. For me, procrastination is one of them. You know, it's only served me once. Procrastinating has only served me really one time, and that was this year when Chris and I went to get our driver's license, our Indiana driver's license. Had we done it when we first moved here, which normal people do, we would have had to take this test. And apparently the test is like really, really hard. And I was thinking about it when I was sitting in the, you know, in the B&B and I was talking to the guy behind the counter, because I feel like I'm a smart and intelligent guy, and driving's driving. I'm pretty good at it, and how hard could it be? But the guy back there is like, yeah, it was really hard. Like, I didn't even pass the first time. I'm like, golly. But the great thing about my procrastination was that waiting about 2 years till after we moved here, the laws had changed. Right, so that you could, if you moved here, and were going to get your license after a certain point in this past year, you didn't have to take the test anymore. You could just go in and pay your $17 and get it. And I told Chris, and I was like, it finally paid off. It happened. I did it. My procrastination worked. But that's the only thing. That's the only time it's worked. Every other time, it's either something has gone wrong or it's caused stress and angst. But it's. That's it. But procrastination, it's something that's been a character trait or a flaw of my life, or at least of my adult life. And a Band-Aid was not going to fix it, right? And neither would a hashtag moment, right? It was going to take radical change. The word radical that we use comes from the 14th century Latin word called radicalis, and that means from the root, or rooted in the original. Nearly every part, every discipline of life has this concept steeped in the idea of radical. Medicine, radical surgery means that you dig out the root of the disease. Whatever is ailing, you go for the root. You don't slap Band-Aid on cancer. You go in and you try to dig it out, right? In botany, radical leaves are the leaves that are at the source, at the root, at the base of the plant. In mathematics, a radical number is the root of the equation. In chemistry, a radical is two atoms, or a free radical is an unpaired electron. In linguistics, radical means two or three consonants that form a root word. In grammar, the radical word is the root word when you take away the prefix or the suffix. Right? In about every area of life that we use, right? There is the idea of this radical, the root, going back to the original, rooted in the original. You know, in 2002, Rick Warren authored The Purpose-Driven Life. It's like a top 15 seller of all time, of all books ever written. His book is one of the highest selling books of all time. It was written about being rooted in the five purposes that God wants for our lives, the roots of Christian radical living. And so in our little mini series, our radical gratitude, we're going to be looking at a lot of the practicals, a lot of the principles that he uses and identifies, not just in that book, but kind of, I did a lot of reading and studying, looking at a lot of my favorite authors and preachers and pastors from our fellowship and outside our fellowship, you know, kind of trying to get a lot. And so there's a lot of material there. All right, Colossians 2. I had you turn there a while ago. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. You know, the Living Bible translation, it says it this way. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him, too, for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. In verse 7, it says, let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all He has done. You know, that idea he's talking about of letting our roots grow down into Him, into God, right? Into the source. God is the origin. He is the original. He was there in the beginning before anything else was. He is the original source. He's saying, let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. And the result of that is that our lives, not just a moment and not just in a season, not just a catchy gimmick that we do these days with the social media world and all the hashtag stuff that we do, not about that, but your lives, let your lives, as a result of your roots being in Him, your lives will overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that He has done for you. You know, what happens when you dig a hole in the sand at the beach? When you go out to the beach and you dig a hole and you keep digging down, what happens? Eventually you find water, right? And that water springs up from underneath and fills that hole. Same thing, before modern day plumbing, you know, how did people get water? Same way that some people still do today, living on well water. You dig down. You dig far enough down in the earth and you will hit water, and that water will spring up and provide life, right? We all need, every living thing needs water for life. You know, when you're rooted in Christ, having dug deep into God's love for you, what springs up out of that is gratitude and thanksgiving. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and the second half of verse 17, he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Again, the Living Bible translation says it this way. Listen to this. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand all, as all God's children should, how long and wide, how high and deep His love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it, or fully know or understand it. And so at last you will be filled up with God Himself. Again, that our roots, that we allow our roots, our lives, our spiritual lives to go down deep. Right? That's where strength is. Our backyard, you know, I love our lawn. Moving that when we came the end of April a couple years ago, and I saw how green the grass got up here. I'm still infatuated by like how awesome the grass is up here. It's so green. I'd never seen it. I'd seen it once before when I went to Canada. I was like, this is so green and awesome. And I love our yard, right, in the spring and summer. It's so beautiful, especially when it's getting a lot of rain. It's just so green. Our front yard, the grass, the roots are deep. Our backyard is not. The roots are very thin and very shallow. The dogs can go running and tearing around in the front yard, and there isn't any problem. But the dogs go running around in the backyard, and when they pivot, when they dig their paws in and they move, it just peels up sheets of our yard. And but because the roots aren't deep, and the roots not being deep, it just gets when something happens, abrasive, obstructive, it just rips the grass up by the roots. When we are not rooted in the love of Christ, we're like that, our backyard. You know, when something happens, when Satan digs his paw in and pivots in a different direction, we just get ripped right up. The nice thing is that it's fixable, right? You can aerate, you can do different things, you can seed. There's a lot of things you can do to help get those roots to go down straight and deep, to make them strong. When we go deep into the wells of God's love for us, He Himself, it says, fills us up. And springs of gratitude and thanksgiving start overflowing in our lives. You know, what are some of the signs of our spiritual roots lacking depth? What are some signs? We're going to talk about some signs that our roots, our spiritual roots, lack depth. Worry, fear, anxiety, stress, guilt, shame, resentment, bitterness, and yes, grumbling and complaining. Right? Now this month, I'll be surprised if anybody's able to go the whole month without complaining at all. That would be awesome. I think some of you may do it. Jerry strikes me as a guy that could probably go a whole year without complaining. He's like my dad like that. It just, amen, nothing bothers him. Maybe it does, but you don't know it. He's just a happy guy and is not going to complain about much. And the idea of this No Complain November is not that we're perfect, right? That when we catch ourselves, though, struggling with complaining or grumbling or being worried or stressed or bitter or whatever the case may be, what do we do with it then in that moment? You know, it was Friday when I made that video. It was that morning I woke up and our ceiling in our dining room was leaking water because the bathtub upstairs in our bathroom was, the supply lines had busted, and so we just, water just flowing down through our ceiling, like drip, 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 drip. You could go and stand quietly and it sounded like rain in the ceiling above, like just pouring down. And then I went outside, I started calling plumbers and I had to call our insurance and file a claim on our home. It was a crazy mess, and I made this video, all right, No Complain November, and I'm tested right off the bat. And so that day I started thinking to myself, how am I not going to be upset about this? And so as I was praying for our house and the leaky roof, or the leaky ceiling and the fans in the bathrooms that don't work. And you guys have been over to the house and you go to push the doorbell and there's just wire sticking out because the doorbell doesn't work. I've got a long list of things that I've got to get on that Kristen's been on me about. But then I was like, but I was praying and I said, you know, how can I be thankful in this? So I'm going to thank you, God, for a house. Thank you that we have a home to live in. Because a lot of people around the world And you don't even have to go international. You don't have to go third world. There's a lot of people in the city that we live in that don't have homes to sleep in, warm beds to have, food in the refrigerator. So I can be thankful. If I can be thankful for the jobs that we have that allow us to be able to support ourselves and take care of a home even when it's starting to fall apart a little bit, right? And that's a difference. That's a change of perspective. And we'll get to it, but in all situations that we can be thankful. That's what hashtag No Complaint November is about. It's not that we decide there we're not going to complain and therefore nothing bad is going to happen. It just means that in the midst of what's going on, that we're going to choose to be thankful. And we're going to choose to be grateful because our roots are going deep. You know, there's another hashtag November challenge. It's the No Shave November. And, you know, I'm a big fan of that. But I do want to make it very clear that I was not shaving. I was growing my beard a long time before that became a popular fad. And it's awesome. I love it when people do it. Obviously, I don't wait for November to do it. I prescribe to it annually, the year round. But what happens to 99% of those who take up the No Shave November challenge come the 1st of December? They just shave it all off, right? It's gone. Without a deep-rooted conviction that the beard is awesome and that we don't want to shave, right, we go back to the way things used to be every day, right? And while catchy and fun, right, our No Complain November challenge, it's not intended to be for a season. It's not intended to be for a month. It's meant for our lives. It's meant to be our lifestyle. But unless you have deep-rooted conviction, radical, right, deep roots, unless we have radical gratitude, then at the end of this, you will go right back to living the way that you always have lived. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. It's the parable of the sower. And, you know, Jesus is right in the middle of explaining the meaning of the parable. Matthew 13, 21. It says, "But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, he quickly falls away." And the Living Bible translation says it this way, "But they don't have deep roots, and they don't last very long. As soon as life gets hard or the message gets them in trouble, they give up." And that's, isn't that what we see a lot of times? Isn't that what you, I know I have experienced, right? When life gets tough, it's easy to start complaining. Start pointing out all the issues, all the things, all the wrongs that are going on, right? When the Word of God gets hard, right? That's what he's talking about. When the message gets hard, when being faithful and obedient to the Word gets hard, right? He says we give up. You know, have you ever felt like giving up before? You know, felt like giving up in your pursuit of overcoming sin or in dealing with marital issues or dealing with your kids as parents. Have you ever felt like giving up in your career, right? That it has not gone the path that you thought it was going to go, or getting out of debt. Have you ever given up on your dreams and your goals, your vision in life? Have you ever given up or felt like giving up on helping somebody become a Christian? Right, because you share and you reach out and you invite and you get no, 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 and you find somebody to study the Bible and they start and they say no, and then you find somebody else and they start and they make a little further and you get somebody all the way in and for some reason they say no and they walk away and you get tired and you're tempted to give up. You know, we can find ourselves in those places feeling like giving up. And we get to that place when our roots start shrinking, right? When they don't remain deep in God, in His Word, and the love that He has for us. Our roots are not dug deep enough into the well of God's love for us. And so we begin to grow weary. And we begin to look on the other side of the fence. Wow, that that grass is greener over there, right? You know, let's contrast that. Turn over to Jeremiah 17. Let's contrast that, the temptation to give up, the person, as Jesus was describing in that parable, the person who's the rocky soil. That was who he was referring to, the rocky soil. Let's contrast that person with the person that God describes here in Jeremiah 17 as one who has dug spiritual roots. In verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water and sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. You know, our hope, our confidence, our faith is not in the above list of things. It's not in our jobs. It's not in our spouses. It's not in our kids and how they're doing or not doing. It's not in our financial status. It's not in whether we have accomplished what we had gone to school for and set out for and thought, hey, I'm going to be this. Our faith and our hope and our confidence is not in those things, right? Our faith and our hope and our confidence is in the Lord. You know, the result is verse 8, deep spiritual roots. Four things identified from this passage when we allow our roots to go into the source, growing deep. That's what he says, that it sends out its roots by the stream. You know, the Bible uses analogies of water often. And as we talked about earlier, water is life-giving. Without it, we wouldn't have life. Without Jesus, right? Our spiritual water, without God, we would not have life. And so our roots going into the source, our spiritual roots, digging deep and into the source of that living water. Four things happen. Number one, we're not bothered by the heat. You know, when heat comes, it says in verse, the end of verse 8, it does not fear when heat comes. You know, when your roots are in the source, right? When your roots are growing deep into your relationship with God because you know and are confident of how much God loves you and how much He has done, then when the heat of life comes, there is no fear, right? Because your hope and your trust and your confidence is in Him and not in what's going on around, not the temperature outside, not the temperature of your marriage, not the temperature of your kids, not the temperature of your career, your finances, your hope and your faith and your confidence. Your roots are deep into God. Number two, you're not worried in seasons of drought. You know, the reality is the harvest is only a season, right? We're not always harvesting. We're not always in a bountiful, wonderful time. There's times and seasons of life that feel like droughts. Have you ever had a time where you feel like you're doing everything you know, everything you were taught as a disciple to do, to grow, to be strong, to be faithful? You do these things and good things, and you're doing all those things, and you're not seeing anymore the fruit that maybe you did when you were a baby Christian. What do you do then? You have to dig your roots deeper in, right? You got to allow your roots to grow deeper into God, into His love. Otherwise, in those seasons of drought, you're going to get worried. You're going to get anxious. You're going to give into fear, right? You're going to get, you're going to start struggling towards God. Why didn't you show up for me? When I would do A, B, or C, and when I did the things of the Bible, now I'm not seeing it, or I'm not feeling it, or I'm not experiencing it. What's up, God? And we start getting that way with each other. You know, it makes me think of, when I was reading this, it made me think of Matthew 6. You know, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he said that listen, the birds, they don't worry, right? The grass, it doesn't worry, right? They know and trust that God is providing and going to take care of. Therefore, in seasons of drought or famine, right? The drought would be for the grass and the famine would be for the birds. God's going to take care of them. And he says, If that's how God takes care of the birds of the air and the grass of the field, is he not going to much more take care of you, oh, you of shallow root? Right? So let your roots grow deep, and even in seasons of drought, there will be no worry. Third thing that happens is your leaves stay green. Right? If your roots are going into water, then it doesn't matter the seasons that are going on around. You're like an evergreen tree. Right? Hence, it's evergreen. It's always green. An evergreen tree is evergreen. Right? So when fall and winter comes, it doesn't dry up. Its leaves don't fall off. Right? It stays evergreen. Right? That is what we are when our roots are going into the source. We are evergreen. And number four, our lives keep on producing fruit. That's what he says. And never fails to bear fruit. What fruit are we talking about here? It's the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit, and that is what that's what we're talking about. You know, if we're rooted in God's love, if we're living radically grateful lives, regardless of the seasons or the heat or the drought, our lives are always going to produce fruit. No root, no fruit. Right? Deep root, barren fruit. Right? No root, no fruit, that's Rick's. I'll give him credit for that one. The deep root bearing fruit, that's mine. I'll take credit for that one. But if we don't have roots, then we're not going to bear fruit. But if we have deep roots, right? If our deep roots are going into God, going into, then we will bear fruit. Jesus said that we would know a tree by its fruit, by what it's produced. Luke 6, 43 through 45. You know, I guess it could also be said that you'll know its fruit by its root. Right? If you know a tree by its fruit, then we're going to know the fruit by the root. If you come across a fruitful tree, right, you're going to know that their roots are growing deep. Right? There's not a one of us in here that doesn't go through hard times and hasn't and won't at some point in the future. But you look at the fruit of their life and you'll be able to see where their roots are. Are they like our backyard or our front yard? Right? We want them to be like the front yard. How can you tell if someone has deep spiritual roots? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we close out here. How can you tell? What's the gauge? What's the fruit? What do you see? How can you tell? How do you know if someone has deep spiritual roots? 1 Thessalonians 5, that person is going to be continuously grateful. Continuous gratitude is a defining characteristic of deep spiritual roots. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now that's radical gratitude. Let's read that again. Look at that with me again. Give thanks, be thankful, be grateful in all circumstances. Now that's radical. Because it doesn't say to be thankful when it's easy, be thankful when all's going well, when everything is just smooth sailing, right? Anybody can do that. That's not gratitude. That's just an acknowledgement of whatever's happening, right? But in all circumstances, when things are not going easy, when it is challenging, when there are seasons of doubt, when the heat is poured on by the enemy, he who is trying to steal and kill and destroy your faith, give thanks then. That's radical gratitude. In all circumstances, give thanks. That's God's will for your life. It doesn't say give thanks for the circumstances. Right? That's not what it says. We're not, and as it says, as this is God's will for you, we're not thankful for the bad and the evil that happens. Right, that's not God's will. You know, a lot of what we see and experience in the world in which we live in is not God's will. It doesn't mean that it's not within God allowing something to happen. It doesn't mean that He's not able to pull the good out of even terrible, awful situations. But that's why Jesus said when He was teaching His disciples to pray, He said, pray that God's will be done here like it is there. Because in heaven, God's will is always done. It's not done here. Therefore, pray that His will up there is done down here. But we can be thankful. We can give thanks in our circumstances. I don't have to be thankful that the ceiling is leaking and that's going to cost a lot of money to fix. But in the midst of all of that, I can be thankful. I can be grateful. I don't have to let that cause me to become stressed out, worried, anxious. I don't have to let it change my attitude so that I become short and disgruntled with my wife or the kids because of the stresses that are going on in life, right? We can still give thanks despite our circumstances, in all of our circumstances. The next couple weeks, we're going to be digging into why it's God's will. We're going to end here, and we'll pick up here next week. And we're going to be looking at the different reasons of why. God says here to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And we're going to be figuring out why is it God's will for us to give thanks in all of our circumstances. Because if we don't understand why, then this is just going to be another gimmicky hashtag moment. And we'll all end up back in whatever places we were before we came in today. For some of us, that may be good. For some of us, it really may not be. But it doesn't have to be, because we can dig our roots. I can think of no better place to start in giving thanks and letting our roots grow deep than by taking communion. By taking some time and a moment